Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Alonzo, and you are rolling through a No Ball Tuesday where we have talked a bunch so far, and we'll talk a bunch more coming up here in just a minute from now. I went back and I rewatched the fourth quarter of the South Carolina-Alabama game yesterday. And in watching the fourth quarter of the South Carolina-Alabama game yesterday, I picked up on a couple of things that I think went wrong for South Carolina down the stretch. One of them was just that Alabama's a damn good football team. That is a national championship caliber team. That's a good team. But there is a football reason that I think South Carolina ended up losing that football game down the stretch. And I'm going to tell you what the biggest reason to me was coming up in the next segment of the show. But I want to get to the audio blitz here. The best audio that we have picked up over the past 24 hours. I have got a handful of clips that I would like to get going for you here. Let's go with this one. A couple of baseball clips from last night's game. There were two that I really wanted to hammer on. The first, bottom of the, and this is not a verbal typo, 18th inning, a full second baseball game. And in the bottom of the ninth of the second game that got played in one game last night, that would be the bottom of the 18th, former Atlanta Brave legend, and I had been referring to him up until last night as Atlanta Braves legend turned LA Dodger Freddie Freeman. Yeah, I'm sorry after this. He's just L.A. Dodger legend Freddie Freeman. After an absolutely spectacular game, those of you that stayed up until 2:50 a.m. were treated to what I believe to be, and I mean this, I've said already once this morning, I'll say it again, I think baseball is the best postseason in American sports because every single game and every single series can have tension that starts in inning one and holds you until the final out of inning 9 or 12 or 15 or 18. That was palpable last night. I turned it off in the 13th inning. I'm like, I have to go to bed. It is 12:50 a.m. I've got to be awake in like 2.5 hours. I got to go to bed. I went to bed thinking, honestly, there's a very good chance that this is over on the next pitch and I may miss it. Turns out, if I'd have stayed awake and went to bed when the game ended, I'd have gotten about 50 minutes of sleep. 2:50 a.m., that game went off the television, and the tension was there the entire time. And I got to tell you, I was so hype when I went to bed, I didn't go to sleep for like 40 minutes after I went and laid down. Like, I might as well have just stayed up and watched the damn baseball game. Baseball's postseason is the best. And you know, we have those off-season topics where you just kind of like, you throw out sports conversations that are fun to have with the boys when there's not a lot going on in the sports world in a football-heavy area like ours. One of them every year is, what's the best sound in sports, right? And it's always like, oh, it's the pop of a swish from a long three, or it's the, you know, the kick of a football, or the sound of a, you know, the sound of the ball, the golf ball hitting the bottom of the cup, or whatever. All great. I don't think there's a better sound in sports than a bottom of the inning walk-off dong. The crack of the bat and the crowd building as they go, is it? Yeah, it's gone. And they come alive. I think it's the best. Now, there was also something else in that game. Top second, no outs, Bo Bichette on first base. And this happened. Don Varsho at the dish. He takes a ball that is, takes a pitch that is right on the edge of the plate. Home plate umpire says it's a strike. And you can hear him in the clip go, strike. Here's the problem. And this is why I get upset with umpires. One of the reasons that umpires are demonstrative, the way that they are demonstrative, is so that, especially in a game like last night, where Dodger Stadium was absolutely raucous, even in the second inning, when they are demonstrative, everybody on the field can look at them and see, that was a strike, or that was a ball. Last night, the home plate umpire calls that a strike, except for he goes, for those of you watching on the stream, you're welcome for the dramatic acting. For those of you that aren't, follow along with the clues. The umpire last night, he's down, the pitch hits the mitt, and he goes like this, strike! He throws the signal out about three quarters of a second after he makes the call of strike. Now, it's loud as hell in that stadium. You're talking 27 plus thousand people that are either elated because it's a strikeout or upset because they, elated because it's a strike or furious because it's ball four. And now there's runners on first and second in a tight ball game. Bo Bichette on first base did not hear the strike call. And because the umpire took his sweet ass time signaling it with the hand motion, Bo Bichette thought it was ball four. He just started jogging to second base. But because it was strike two, he got thrown out on the bags. Cost the Blue Jays a very valuable out in what would go on to obviously be a tight game. It was an 18-inning baseball game. This is why I get frustrated with umpires. You're not making the hand signal because it's about you, Chief. You're not. Your silly little strikeout dances, all right, fine, whatever. You get your moment in the sun. It's not about you. It's about the pitcher and the batter, but whatever. You get your moment. But, man, when you're calling balls and strikes on regular pitches, especially when there's runners on the bags, you have to strike, put the hand up, let them know immediately. That is a strike. If you get off the bag, it is a live ball because it was. And Bo Bichette got tagged out because of that, and it cost the Jays what might have been had Varsho on the next pitch put one out into right field. Maybe that's a run scored. Maybe that's the difference in the game. And that's what ended up happening. I had a problem with it. All right, a couple more clips I wanted to get to you. Let's go with this one. This is an excellent take. I got to tell you, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has won me over with this podcast because he's got some great racing takes. He's got some racing takes that maybe aren't great, but like they're fun to discuss and debate. But more importantly, Dale Earnhardt Jr. might be the most regular, everyday, everyman that has a podcast with a name attached to it. I can't do a beer that ain't cold, man. That, you know what? Like, I've said this before. I adore every now and then when I get the opportunity to feel like I can really relate to an athlete, to a high-level athlete, to a well-known household name. And this is one of those spots, man. Like, I get it. Because, yes, while I agree with Amy, his wife there, I would rather drink out of a bottle than a can. I also know if I'm in a place where there's a lot of people drinking a lot of beer and they're turning that beer over in that cooler over and over, I'm going to go with a can because the can's going to drop temperature faster than the bottle in a beer. Now, I'd also say I would rather go on tap out of a glass than a bottle or a can, but I have to know and trust the cooling system in the bar. There are some bars that take great pride in making sure that their beer is 28 degrees, the perfect serving temperature, and there are others that you get it and you're like, this beer is closer to lukewarm than it is ice cold. And that's a bad beer. I'll just take a can. I'll drink a PBR out of the can before I drink a warm, you know, nice micro craft beer. It's a big deal. Getting that beer perfect is the right deal. And by the way, real quick, as a brief aside, yes, the beer I'm drinking does depend on the circumstances of the situation I'm drinking it in. It's one thing if I'm out on the back porch, out of the fire pit with the boys, I will drink a cold Busch Light straight up out of the ice chest, no problem. If I'm out at a nicer establishment, yeah, I may step it up to an IPA or a double IPA. Here's the one thing about all of those beers, and this is a well-known mistake. Do not drink those beers out of a frosty mug. I know, it's like the thing. I want a cold beer and a tall frosty mug. Don't do that. It actually degrades the beer a little bit. It degrades the beer. It takes away from the aroma of the beer because it kills it off. Number two, if the beer is too cold, it numbs your palate. Your tongue's got nerves on it, just like every other part of your body. And if you freeze them, if you put cold on them, they, like every other part of your body, will go numb. Now you lose some of the essence of the beer, some of the aroma of the beer, some of the taste on the palate of the beer. If you're a beer guy, ultimately, cold mugs are actually bad if you are trying to... Now, if you're just drinking some PBR with the boys, have at it. Makes your beer colder, I get it. But if you're drinking a nice, expensive beer, don't drink it out of a cold mug, man. You kind of ruin it a little bit. Hey, speaking of beer, you know what goes great with beer? Hot dogs. Big hot dog guy. You know what's a big hot dog city? Chicago, Illinois. Such a big hot dog city that they have a restaurant there that just does hot dogs. And every now and then, this restaurant, and I'll tell you the name of it in a minute because it's incredible. Every now and then, this restaurant connects with the local sports teams, and they try to get the sports teams to do something. And if they do something, this restaurant opens up, and they give free hot dogs out to Chicago sports fans who come by and say hello. So, this restaurant, who I'll tell you the name of here in just a moment, this restaurant made an ask of Chicago Bears head coach Ben Johnson. They said, hey, coach.
Wait. An ask.
An ask.
They ask him.
They asked Ben Johnson.
They requested.
They made the ask of Ben Johnson after a dub. If you will hit the celly by going shirtless, we will give some hot dogs out to everybody in Chicago that comes by. And this, when told that by the media after the game this past weekend, was Ben Johnson's response. So, if Ben Johnson goes tarps off, boys, after a dub for the celly, the restaurant's going to give him out. I played this clip for two reasons. Well, three reasons. One, it's hilarious. Number two, I got to give a lot of credit to Lonzo, who was very clearly the reporter in there who was pushing Ben Johnson by going and saying, wait a minute, Ben, don't you care about feeding people? Don't you want to make sure everybody is well-fed in the community? Like, what a great line of questioning to kind of guilt trip him in. And the third reason I bring it up is because, you know me, I'm both a branding genius and a pun guy. I love a good pun wrapped up in a name. The name of the restaurant, Lonzo, is The Wiener's Circle. The Wiener's Circle.
Wow.
The Wiener's Circle. It's a hot dog restaurant. It's a sports theme. The Wiener's
Circle. Oh, no, that's great. Do they have a logo?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up yet.
Okay.
Primarily because I know when I go to that place, I'm going to be like, well, here's 12 hot dogs I got to make at the crib tonight. I got to try to copy the Wiener's Circle.
Yeah, I'm not going to look that up on my computer, though.
I am.
Okay. You go right ahead.
Hey, Chris, deal with it. There's going to be a Google search for the Wiener's Circle somewhere in the mix. All right, let's get one or two more in here before we go to a break. Lane Kiffin. Hey, we talked about him a lot this week. I got news for you, college football fans. We're going to be talking about him a lot more. Will he switch jobs in season? I don't know. Probably not, to be honest with you. His team's on a quest for a natty. Now, if Ole Miss drops a game or two, like, I don't know, this weekend at home hosting the Gamecocks of South Carolina, he drops one and he falls out of the national title mix, then I think maybe there's a chance. But also probably not. He still takes a job. Either way, yeah, Lane Kiffin.
If he does that, those jobs may not be available anymore.
I mean, if LSU comes calling, yeah, they don't care. They're good with it. Now, will it impact his ability to get jobs in the future? I don't know. But if he gets the LSU job, honestly, it's like you better figure it out here or you're going back to D2. I don't know. Either way, Lane Kiffin was on the Pardon My Take Barstool podcast, and they asked him just kind of a fun, dumb question. And then Lane Kiffin upped the ante in the most Lane Kiffin possible way and also gave us the reason that, y'all, I can't stand a Florida Gator, but I kind of want to see Lane Kiffin end up in Gainesville.
I just want to say,
I love this guy so much.
No, that was extremely awkward for a little while, but the coach said, you know what? I'm going to save this.
Yeah, I agree.
And he saved it.
Because, and for the record,
there was awkward silence in there. We both have witnessed that before.
For sure.
Like, oh, man, I thought that was a good question.
To the credit of Big Cat, who is the Barstool personality who asked the question, he did say multiple times, this is a stupid question. It's a real dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I know it's going to be awkward. Stupid question. I just like that Lane immediately was like, well, hold your horses here. When I was in college, I went to Florida's East Coast. I got a bunch of gear to go see some 80s band play back in the day, including a clip-on rat tail, and I am willing to break out the clip-on rat tail. Y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, if there is a coach that has ever, from a culture perspective, ever fit better in a place than Lane Kiffin would fit at the University of Florida, I don't know who it is. You think Lane's not going to show up rocking the John Cena jorts to coach a game? Hell yeah, he is. Hell yeah, he is. Lane will be out there in the cutoff vest and the jorts and the visor. You think Lane wouldn't ha-ha-LOL when he plays Mississippi State, break out the rat tail on the back of the visor? Like, get, I can't stand Florida, and I'm terrified if Lane goes there, we're all going to live under another reign of Lane terror at the University of Florida, because now he will finally have all the resources he needs and the maturity to take advantage of it, which I don't think he did at Tennessee or USC. But I kind of want to see it happen, because Lane in Gainesville, if they turn it into Lanesville, Florida, would be absolutely iconic.
All right, now I'm just picturing you wearing a rat tail.
Not for me, man. Like, I never got the Florida man stink on me.
I was gonna say you would have been in high school probably, well, after it was really big. Yeah. But I mean, you would have got the tail in, so to speak, and so never any.
No, the rat tails were out by the time I got to high school. Okay. They weren't a thing.
All right,
we had moved on to bleaching your hair, bleaching your tips.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. But I don't know if rat tails would have been acceptable at Cotillion.
No, they absolutely would not have. We'd have had a talking to. All right, one more very quickly before we go to the break. If you watch the World Series games, you will notice that, as has been the case for like a long time now, there is a dude that sits behind home plate at every game wearing an orange Miami Marlins shirt. And I got to tell you, I hated this guy. I'm like, dude, you are the most trying to get yourself over in the wrestling crowd, wrestling fan of all time. You're as bad as those dudes at WrestleMania 2 years ago that hold up fat heads of their own fat heads. I hated those people. Hated this guy.
That's a good move, actually.
No, it's not. You're an a-hole.
No.
If two wrestlers are face-to-face trying to cut a promo and all I see is your big-ass head in between their faces, you're going to business for yourself, brother, and I'm not here for it. Just like I wasn't here for Marlins guy, except for a reporter in Toronto, where Marlins Man, as he is called, was, actually did a quick conversation with Marlins Man, and I got to tell you, I waited. So, I could not stand Marlins Man. He annoyed the crap out of me. I'm like, dude, you're going into business for yourself. In fact, even in that clip, I was ready to be mad, because he said at one point, well, I didn't think I'd stand out like a traffic cone. My guy, you're in a bright orange jersey. You are literally dressed as a traffic cone. You can't look more like a traffic cone without wearing a dunce cap on your head, my guy. But
happens every Saturday at Death Valley.
Dude, then he goes to the next level. They're like, what do you do for a living? He's like, well, I'm a lawyer and I own a bunch of racehorses. Y'all, I despise horse racing. I hate it. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. And he's like, I'm like, dude, I'm going to hate this guy. And then they said, why do you do it? And he said, because I want to promote September 11th as National First Responders Day. And I bring a stranger who's never been to a ball game to every game that I come to. And just like that, he won me over. Just like that, he turned around and won me over. Now, I got two more things that kind of fall in line with this. And that is not judging or criticizing people who don't act the way you want them to because you don't know what they're going through. Because I got to tell you, Kirk Herbstreit is eating a big old platter of crap today because of something he did on Thursday night. And what he didn't know was happening when he said it. And he's not the only one. I got another clip from a former offensive lineman in the NFL that I want to play for you in that same vein. We'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, three things to tell you very quickly. Number one, I'm going to do the South Carolina-Alabama thing in the next segment, primarily because I screwed up the clock and this is a very short segment and I don't want to shortchange that segment. So that's coming up next. Number two, I just got what I think maybe is my funnest, my funniest phone call in the history of the Rob Brown Show at any station I've ever been on. We were talking about Marlins Man in the last segment. This is a dude who shows up to every Major League Baseball playoff game, or at least World Series game, but throughout the playoffs as well. And he's wearing a bright-ass orange Miami Marlins jersey. And in the clip we played where I said, this guy actually kind of won me over because they said, like, why do you do this? And he said, well, I'm spreading awareness. I want to see September 11th turned into National First Responders Day, which I think is absolutely a great idea.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, and we should absolutely rush to do that. But at the beginning of the clip, he said, I didn't know I was going to stand out like a traffic cone, which I said, my guy, you're wearing a bright-ass orange jersey in a sea of white jerseys wherever you go. You're wearing a bright orange jersey. The only way you could stand out more like a traffic cone if you wore an orange dunce hat on top of your head as well. And we got a call from Daredevil, who is a longtime listener of the program and of the station and is visually impaired, who called the show to tell Lonzo to tell me thank you because he learned something today. He learned today that traffic cones are orange because nobody's ever told him that before. Thank you, Daredevil. I need you to know I got a violent laugh when Lonzo told me what your phone call was about, so I appreciate that. All right, real quick, want to play two clips for you. I want to start with this one. Last Thursday night, there was a footballing contest that was taking place between the Minnesota Vikings and the LA Chargers. Carson Wentz was starting for the Minnesota Vikings as J.J. McCarthy continues to work his way back from injury, or as some conspiracy theorists have leaned into, J.J. McCarthy has not proven to Kevin O'Connell that he's good enough to be the starting quarterback. And so Kevin O'Connell is letting him use the cover of an injury to practice and get better. We'll see. Either way, during that game, late in that game, in the fourth quarter of that game, with about 5.5 minutes left to play, Carson Wentz, who got sacked 5 times and hit 8 more, if I recall correctly, Carson Wentz went to the sideline and was clearly not okay. He was wincing in pain. He appeared to have tears in his eyes and threw his helmet down, slumped down to the bench. He looked like a young man in puppy love who just got dumped by his first girlfriend. And old Kirk Herbstreit, who I do not dislike at all, but I had a problem with this, said this. So Kirk says, oh, you know, when you're the captain of the ship, when you're the emotional leader, you can't show that. You can't show that pain. You can't show the frustration. You gotta keep it in. It's only week 7. Turns out there will be no week eight for Kirk Cousins. He is set to undergo season-ending surgery to repair a left shoulder injury he originally suffered October 5th when he played the first time in place of injured starter J.J. McCarthy. Wentz has been, according to ESPN, hear me out on this, Wentz has been playing since October 5th with a dislocated shoulder that included a torn labrum and a fractured shoulder socket during this entire run.
Has the team been fined yet?
That's a great question. Not that it has been made public.
Well, they should be, right? Because injuries, that's a rule. They're supposed to be reported.
Well, I agree, but keep in mind, we are also, and we're going to talk about old Kirko Cousins here in a minute, because by golly, good gracious, did Atlanta watch the trade value of Kirk Cousins tank this past weekend. We'll come to that later on, either in the show or in the week. Question mark is, like, did Wentz not tell them? Because we know.
Dude, that's a lot of injuries.
It's a big injury.
Yeah.
And it's I have to assume. I've never had a dislocated shoulder, torn labrum, or fractured shoulder socket. But I got to imagine that any one of those three would suck a lot. He had all three at the same time. So the question mark is going to be, much like it was with Kirk Cousins at the end of last year, was Carson Wentz hurt and the Vikings covered him up? Sorry, T-Experience said, not Kirk Cousins. You meant to say Carson Wentz. Yes, Carson Wentz. But I brought up Kirk Cousins because of what happened with Atlanta at the end of the year last year. We had that big controversy about Kirk Cousins losing his job to Michael Penix Jr. late in the year, and it turned out he had an arm injury. And the Falcons were effectively saying, he didn't tell us about it. And Kirk was effectively saying, yeah, I did, but we decided to play through it. And Atlanta was like, no, he didn't. And Kirk was like, yeah, we did. And Atlanta was like, no, we didn't. Blah, blah, blah. You get the point. It turned out at the end of the year that Kirk Cousins was lying about the severity of the injury, so he didn't lose his job to Michael Penix Jr., which he ultimately did anyway, but you get the point. And Atlanta took a lot of crap. Turns out, nope, Kirk Cousins was lying about the injury, which, again, I understand. Like, it's gladiatorial out there, but at the same time, not great, Bob. I got a harder time believing Carson Wentz was lying about a dislocated shoulder, torn labrum, and fractured socket all at the same damn time and was just rolling through it. I got big questions about a Minnesota Viking team that I was very high on at the beginning of the year, despite my complete lack of belief in J.J. McCarthy. But I was willing to give J.J. a chance because I also did not believe in Drake May and Bo Nix. And those two guys are just fine right now. So that whole thing is interesting. But the biggest takeaway for me is not even really football related. And this is where I'm going to get accused of being preachy or whatever, and I'm good with that. The biggest takeaway of this for me is, don't talk a bunch of crap about somebody you don't know what they're going through. Because whether it was him on his own, and again, if Carson Wentz was lying about his injury to the Vikings and that's why he was playing, then yeah, that's on him. That's on him. And he had to go through the pain, but it was his choice to go through the pain. But I got a hard time believing that's necessarily true. Now, maybe he lied about the severity of the injury to the Vikings. Maybe he's like, hey, I'm a little sore, but I'm fine. Or, you know, I had a little bit of sprain, but I can play through it, coach. In which case, all right, fine. But again, when we have created this world where gladiatorial combat, if you can't go, you can't go. And if you can't go and somebody steps in and kicks ass at the job, you might get your job back. That's how this works. A lot of guys lie about a lot of injuries to play through them. The takeaway from me here was, hey, maybe don't talk a bunch of crap and call a guy weak. And that's not a direct quote from Kirk Herbstreit, but it's not far off from the tone of the conversation. Maybe don't call a guy weak when you have no idea what he's going through. Maybe don't do that. Let me play one more short clip for you real quick that kind of goes along this line. Lane Johnson was an offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles, a member of both of their Super Bowl teams, along with Travis Kelce. Well, he did a spot on the Kelce Brothers podcast. Now, this is going to have some music behind it because it's kind of like a social media highlight to get you to go listen to the episode, and I will. Lane Johnson was one of the baddest-ass dudes in the NFL for a long time, but he told his story on the Kelce Brothers podcast, and I want you to have a listen. This is why I say in sport and in life, don't talk a bunch of crap about somebody when you don't. This is an NFL offensive lineman. This is one of the most badass dudes of his time in the NFL. And he is sitting there saying, after he retired, not only was I going through hell, I was vomiting blood. I was dealing with anxiety in a way that I could not enjoy football. I'm calling my mom to cry to her about it. And I couldn't say anything about it because that's not okay in the NFL. I put that in comparison with the quote from Justin Fields after the Jets finally got a win. You know, 5 days after his owner, Woody Johnson, came out and said, oh, you know, it's kind of hard to win when we have a quarterback that's rated like our quarterback is right now. Like, basically pinned it on him that they were 0-0 the season. And he comes out and says, listen, I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I found myself lying on the floor in my closet crying this week because of the amount of pressure and everything that was on me. And he didn't directly attribute that to Woody Johnson. But come on, nobody was talking about it until Woody Johnson said something. Yo, Like, be kind, man. Be kind, be compassionate. I'm not saying that there's not space for toughness and aggression and physicality and ruthlessness when you're playing football. Absolutely there is. But, man, it's a game. It's a game. And these athletes are people. And as I've said before, just like I'm glad Lane Johnson got the help he needed to be able to move past it. And more importantly, I'm happy that he's at a point where he will now talk out about it. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that struggle with anxiety that will listen to see a badass NFL dude and go, okay, if it's okay for him to talk about it, it's okay for me to talk about it too. He just said it wasn't okay for me to talk about it. Now it is. If you struggle with this stuff, anxiety, depression, whatever your addiction, whatever your issue is, get help. Get help. If Justin Fields can admit in front of the locker room after his first win, I cried on the floor of my closet because it was just overwhelming. If Lane Johnson, one of the most badass dudes in NFL history, can say, anxiety almost killed me and I had to get help and now I'm better and I can talk about it, you can too. If you are dealing with anxiety, if you are dealing with depression, if you are dealing with addiction, whatever your issue is, find somebody to talk about it. Find somebody to help you. If it's okay for Lane Kiffin, I promise you, you're not less of a man, you're not less of a person for getting help to get past that issue. And I hope that you do. I hope that you do. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. What went wrong with South Carolina in the fourth quarter? I'll tell you next on the Fan Upstate. Yesterday was a great day in the world of sports as we had a sports equinox. It was the 32nd time in 54 years where all four major sports leagues played. We had NFL game. We had MLB game, World Series game number three. We had NBA games, we had NHL games all taking place at the same time. Wonderful, wonderful day in sports. And as I prepared for yesterday evening's sports equinox, which was, again, a wonderful, wonderful day in sports. As I prepared for the sports equinox, I decided I wanted to go back and I wanted to watch the fourth quarter of the South Carolina-Alabama game from Saturday. Now, South Carolina was in that game early. They took the lead in the second. They held the lead until the fourth quarter. And then Alabama, with the touchdown drive, the successful two-point conversion, tied the game at 22. South Carolina, with a minute 9 left to play, all they needed was to go about 40 yards, get into field goal range, and kick a walk-off. Very much win on the table there for the Gamecocks at that point. And instead, with 1 minute, 9 seconds left to go, Lenora Sellers runs the ball, fumbles the ball, recovered by Alabama. Alabama able to drive down. They do score the touchdown, leave about 30 seconds left on the clock. South Carolina unable to answer in a very limited time to try to tie that game up and go into overtime. So, what went wrong for South Carolina in the fourth quarter? We heard from Shane Beamer in the postgame press conference, where he said, in fact, I have the clip right here. Here's what Shano had to say about not finishing. So that's what Shane had to say. Look, we didn't finish in the fourth quarter. We had him, 8-point lead. We let him go 60 yards down the field. We let him score the touchdown, and we couldn't answer after that. 100% true. But what happened? Why? There's an X's and O's reason for this. There is a reason that all of those things happen. And I have them for you. The first is, earlier in the show, I was talking about World Series Game 3 from last night. And remember at one point I said that there is a razor-thin margin. If you missed it, then I will tell you that I said there's a razor-thin margin between aggression and stupidity. And it is hard to know exactly and precisely where that line is. If you are someone who is adept at seeing where that razor-thin margin between aggressiveness and stupidity is, you can take over any organization that you want. If you are able to tiptoe on aggression and never step over into stupidity, you're going to be fine. But it's a tough thing to do. Throughout the course of this game, South Carolina was playing aggressive but disciplined football on the defensive side of the football. Defensive ends were setting the edge. Listen, if Ty Simpson's going to stand in the pocket, we're going to collapse the pocket around him. We're going to give him less than 3 seconds to throw the football. We're going to trust our DBs. That was very successful. If a running back is going to get to the outside, we are either going to have a defensive guy who is going to chip him to keep him in, or he's going to be locked up by somebody covering on the outside. We will risk the middle of the field where we believe we've got enough talent. We're going to take Jam Miller as your emergency valve away from you. And then in the fourth quarter, that changed. I want you to go watch the defense of the South Carolina Gamecocks in quarters 1, 2, and 3, and then I want you to go watch the defense of the South Carolina Gamecocks on that touchdown drive from Alabama to tie the game and then to win the game. And what you will notice is that just about every successful play that the Alabama offense ran, just about every successful play was misdirection. Just about every single successful play they ran was misdirection. When Ty Simpson tried to stay in the pocket, when Ty Simpson did stay in the pocket, South Carolina had him. You were just fine. When misdirection got applied, the South Carolina defense started to over-pursue, started to get over-aggressive, and they started allowing Alabama to tell them where they wanted the defense to go instead of saying, this is what we are doing defensively, and we want you to operate in these parameters. Hey, man, and this is old school. If you beat us when we are setting the parameters defensively for what you're allowed to do offensively, if you beat us, you beat us. You're a good football team. We get it. But you dictated what Alabama was going to be allowed to do. They were not going to be allowed to ride Jam Miller to 130 yards and 2 touchdowns on the day. You weren't going to give him that. You were not going to allow Ty Simpson to dictate the passing game by getting outside of the pocket and extending and expanding plays. What's going to happen? We're going to set the edge. We're going to make sure we have a guy on Jam Miller. And if you beat us outside of that, you're a good football team. We'll give you the credit for it. In the fourth quarter of that game, that went away. All of the sudden, I'm watching running backs, I'm watching slot backs that are coming out of the backfield and they're left all alone. And they either end up as pass-catching targets, which happened a couple of times, or they end up as additional blockers for quick passes or runs to the outside. It got to the point where, in the fourth quarter of that contest, what I was looking at, what I was watching, was a defense that predicated to the offense of Alabama all day long. This is what we will allow. We are going to play our spots, our roles on the outside looking in. We're going to open up the middle of the field, or we're going to give you this, and every play there's going to be one spot, and if you find it and you beat us, you find it and you beat us. So what? But we're not going to allow you to do the things that you want to do. And I think defensively, you got away from that a little bit. You get to those 2 touchdown drives, the one to tie it at 22 apiece, the one to take the lead with, you know, whatever time left on the clock. When all of that happened, I watched a defense that dictated what the field was going to be shaped like all day long suddenly not do that. Suddenly Alabama was dictating to you what was going to happen. All of the sudden, we started to see running back slip out of the backfield and nobody was going with them on the spy. All right, we're taking Jam Miller away, except for now. And now Ty Simpson's hitting little floaters out there. And because of that, wide receivers, who all day long had to be focused on, now all of a sudden they're extra blockers. They're additional blockers because now, in what was a very aggressive defense early, now I got guys playing with a pillow. Now I got guys playing with a cover, with a cushion in front of them. And so now those guys, at that point, now they are able to act as an additional blocker. And so now all of these plays to the edge, which were not there for Alabama throughout the course of the game, now they are. And then there's the final drive. The drive where Lenoris fumbled the football and ended the game, allowed Alabama to go down and win the game. On that turnover, you went back to Mike Shula. You went back to Mike Shula. All day long, the offense of South Carolina was the run running the misdirection. I broke this game down yesterday quite a bit. One of the things that I pointed out that I really liked was the absolute creativity in adding an extra blocker to the scheme somewhere along the line of scrimmage and Alabama having to react to it. I pointed out at one point a play that I really liked. South Carolina's got a slot receiver on the right-hand side. They run him in motion behind the line of scrimmage. He gets over to the other side. He goes out wide of the defensive end, meaning the defensive end forgets that he went out there. And when the play is snapped, he doubles back, cracks down on the defensive end. The left tackle pulls around him, gets up to the second level, seals off the linebacker. Now I've got my either running back or quarterback going to the outside. It makes the cornerback make a decision. I am one-on-one with the wide receiver. I either step up to take the run away from Lenora Sellers, in which case he can dump it over my head, or I stay back to take the pass away from Sellers, in which case Sellers can take off running. Most of the time, he's going to, I think, in that spot, I would tell him, I want you to take the wide receiver away. Because if you take the wide receiver away, as soon as Lenora crosses the sticks, yeah, it's a positive game, but at least you can get up there and stop him. But if you come up to stop Lenora Sellers and he dumps it over your head, that guy's got all day to run until he gets to a free safety or a strong safety. There had to be 7 or 8 plays where a guy would come and slot into motion and he would set in a slot back, except he was slot back between the guard and the tackle. He wasn't going all the way off the tackle or off the tight end. He was slot back between the guard and the tackle. And he's effectively an extra offensive lineman on that side of the football. And sometimes you ran to it, sometimes you ran away from it because they weighted that side of the football field defensively. I thought there was a lot of good to that. What was the play that Lenora Sellers fumbled on? Anybody remember? Quarterback ISO dive. On Friday, when I was giving you the speech of, I don't think this game's going to be worth watching. I think Alabama's going to kill you. And remember, the reason why was not that you're not talented enough to pull a Cocktober surprise. It's been 7 games and you haven't done any of the things that you have to do to beat Alabama. Why would I expect suddenly you're going to do it in week 8? Well, you did do it in game number 8 until it mattered. And then in that drive, what did we see? Mike Shula go right back to the run it up the middle playbook. Why? When your quarterback, that last touchdown South Carolina scored, how was that touchdown set up? Stretch play right, fake stretch play right, Lenoris rolls out left, there ain't a soul out there. Why, when you are stretching the defense, and I know it's a pressure situation, and I know you got to get down the field, make something happen, but in a spot where you were looking at a high pressure situation, this is what makes me scream. Why would you suddenly do something different than what puts you in a position to win the game? Against the #4 team in the country. Against a team you were an 11.5 point dog to. Why would you suddenly do something different than what worked all day? And in that spot, all of a sudden, when the stretch right, the stretch left, the misdirection right, the extra blocker left, when all these different creative things you did with the offense all day long have been working all day long, when you need four yards to get a first down and give yourself a chance with, you know, however, a minute and whatever, 39 seconds left to go down the field, kick a field goal to win this game, and you don't even have to go that much further. You need, 30, 40 more yards, you're in position. Why all of a sudden did you get away from that? Why all of a sudden did we go right back to lead blocker Lenora Sellers ISO off guard? Why? So, everything in the litany list Friday that I said, if you want to win or at least make it a game, do X, Y, Z, and A. You did all those things for 3.99 quarters, and then on the drive that it mattered the most, you went right back to doing the Mike Shula things that cost you all the games you've lost so far. Why? Nobody's explained it to me yet. I don't think he can. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this in the final hour of the show. We'll get some more college ball in here as well. All of that coming up after. If they handed out trophies for sports flashes, it would just be called the long.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a Memorial Trophy.
How do you know it's not already? It took two full baseball games to find the winner of Game 3, but the Dodgers used a Freddie Freeman walk-off homer in the bottom of the 18th inning to take a 6-5 win over Toronto and a 2-1 World Series lead. LA used 10 pitchers and Toronto used 9 to get to the finish line with a total 31 combined hits between the two teams. Game 4 is tonight at 8 p.m. Kansas City Chiefs wrapped up the NFL weekend with a 28-7 win over the Commanders. Patrick Mahomes had three touchdowns for 299 yards, but was picked off twice. Travis Kelce had a throwback night with 99 receiving yards and his 83rd career touchdown, tying him with Priest Holmes for the most in franchise history. And Charlotte FC will begin their match, their march through the MLS playoffs tonight with a first round matchup against New York City FC.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.